Morning.
Morning.
I wonder if you've been watching the European Championships, the athletics. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about running? My brother's a runner. He's a member of a running club. He runs 10Ks, he runs half marathons, he runs marathons. Me, I'm not into running. Even at school, if I had to run, it would be the 100 metres or the 200 metres, because anything above that, I just lost interest. It was just too much effort. But about 5-6 weeks ago, I was having my quiet time, and I was reading the passage I'd read for quite a few times before, but three words sort of shot out of the passage and stayed with me for quite a while. And I thought I'd try and get a practical side of this, because I'm one of those people that if I read something, it doesn't really get in, but if someone shows me how to do something, it clicks. I don't know if you know this, but YouTube is full of videos of people who love telling you how to do things. Some of them are even helpful. And they've helped me, but I thought this time, instead of someone showing me what to do, I needed to do it practically to work through things I'd read to see how it worked, see what effects there was. So that week, I decided on Saturday morning, I was going to go for a run. I'm not a runner, don't like running, don't understand it. But I decided I was going to go for a run. I didn't tell anyone, but I decided Saturday morning that was it. So Saturday morning came, quarter of eight, I was all ready to go. I was all got myself ready. Nathan was up, so I told Nathan where I was going, and he looked at me like I'd grown a second head, wondering what I was doing. But I decided, no, I was going to do it. I needed to work out practically these things I'd read. So I went prepared. I had my mobile phone just in case I had to phone emergency services. I took my inhaler so I had enough breath to phone emergency services. And I went. And I ran, and I walked, and I ran, and I walked. And I managed to do it about 25 minutes until I got home. The following day, I looked like a 95-year-old trying to get down the stairs. But I'd worked out some things practically that I'd read in the Bible that would rather be theoretical. And things I learned was this. You had to get past the excuses. That Saturday morning, as I laid in bed, I had so many excuses why I didn't have to run that morning. I didn't need to run. I cycled to work. I'm reasonably fit. I don't understand running, so why do I have to do it? Will I be able to do it? Will I embarrass myself in front of people who are walking their dogs at this person that was heaving themselves around this course? All these excuses could have stopped me getting out of bed and getting my running shoes on. Secondly, you have to know your route. You have to know where you're going. Because it's no good aimlessly running for 5 miles and suddenly realising you've got to get back those 5 miles. And you have to appreciate that in times there will be fast bits and there will be slow bits. When things are going well and you've got a bit of speed, when things are struggling, you need to go slow. You have to appreciate that. You have to keep going. It's no good after getting 2 or 3 miles out, and I have to tell you, I didn't even get a mile, so let's get relative here. You have to keep going, and you also have to know your destination. Mine was home, and home looked good when I got there. So why am I talking to you about this? Well, I was reading this. The Bible tells us quite clearly the Christian life is a race. It's to be run. And it's to be run by every single Christian. It's not an optional extra. It's a race. And so what did I learn practically that I could look into the Bible and see for myself and see what God's trying to say to me? First of all, it tells me this. If we're going to run, we need the right preparation. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So God set a race before every single one of us if we're Christians. But we need to be prepared for it. And there's two things we need to deal with. There's weights and there's sin. Now when we read about weights, we don't say they're wrong. The writers of the Hebrews, whoever you believe he was, doesn't say the weights were wrong. They just weren't helpful. And there are things in our lives maybe that take on a lot of time and a lot of energy. And they're taking over maybe. And they're weighing us down. And they're distracting us from running the race. The writer says we need to deal with those things honestly before God. It might not be easy because we might have had those weights for years and years and years. But if they're hindering us or slowing us down, we need to deal with those. But also there's sin. The weights could be things quite normal. I mean, if I'd started off on that run with my big, thick winter coat and my running boot, my walking boots, they're good for walking across hills, but they're no good for running. So I needed to get those, get rid of those. The sin, say I started running and I'd forgotten to do my shoelaces up. It probably wouldn't be very long before I tripped and fell and hurt myself. Sin entangles. Sin distracts. Sin stops us running. And if we're going to run the race God has set before us, we need to get rid of the weights and we need to deal with the sin. Secondly, we need to have the right focus. Have you seen the race, say the 100 metres, and how focused those athletes are at the end line? There are no distractions. They're not looking around, seeing who's in the crowd and seeing if their mum's there. They're absolutely focused on the race that's set before them. And we need, as Christians, to have the right focus. And it's Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to focus on the one who's gone before, who ran his race. And he was able to say, I have finished the work you give me to do. And he is now sat down at the right hand of God. He's our focus when distractions try and force their way in. Because he's gone before us and he knows the way. Because the problem is, when we get lack of focus, that's when problems come in. When we allow distractions to come in, when we allow disruptions to come in, that's when problems occur. It says this in Galatians 5:7, you all run in the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It says in another version, who has cut in on you? Who's disrupted you? Who's stopped you? Who's caused you to falter? And we need to realise that if we lose focus on the one who's gone before, then problems will occur. So the right preparation, the right focus. We also need the right aim. It says this in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Don't you realise that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now, if you interviewed those athletes, any one of those athletes, before the race, and said, where would you like to finish in the race? I would be very surprised if someone said, I'd like to come 10th, please. That might be a great aim for them. That might be a personal best for them. But they're wanting to win. And as Christians, that is our aim. We run to get the prize. But not at any cost. There are athletes that we know who have resorted to drugs, to cheating, to win. And they've won, and it's been found out. But they won at any price. As Christians, yes, we run to win, but not at any cost. Says this in 2 Timothy 2 verse 5, all athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. This is our rule book. We can't just run as we feel like, putting people down so we can get ahead, so we can get there first, so we can be up front. We're to follow the rules. And then there's the right direction. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. That's 1 Timothy 6:11. It also says this in 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from everything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Let me tell you this. Youthful lusts do not just affect the youth. You get that? It affects every single one of us. And Paul is telling Timothy, there are things to run from, to put behind you. And there are things to run towards, to focus on. Righteousness, godly life, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. There are things to run towards. That's our aim. That's our goal. That's how we run. Not getting tangled up with the things of sin. And we need to run with the right attitude. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. And those were the three words that stuck with me from reading that passage. Run with purpose. Now, I've told you in the past, I'm a bobber. You might not know what a bobber is. A bobber is someone who, if you put a table tennis ball, out to sea, it would go wherever the wave took it. I'm quite easygoing. I don't have any strong opinions. So therefore, yeah. But when it comes to the Christian life, we're called to run with purpose. Not get knocked about by anything, blown about by everything. We have to train our body to run the race. When I was younger, there were two words I really didn't like. There were discipline and responsibility. Really didn't like those two words. Still struggle with them. But when it comes to the Christian life, we're called to a life of discipline, of purpose, of focus. And then we have the right view of problems. Romans 5, 3 to 4 says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. I haven't seen it recently, but have you ever seen the steeplechase in athletics? You ever seen a steeplechase? I haven't got a clue who thought up a race like that. Absolutely crazy race. Instead of normal hurdles, which are high enough, you have big things you have to get over. And if that wasn't bad enough, one of them has water behind it. Do you have to jump over and run through? And you run this for 3,000 metres. How crazy is that? All these obstacles in your way when you could just run a nice flat race. Problems do happen. Life happens. But how do we respond to those problems? Do we sit down and have a pity party? Do we blame God? Do we blame others? How do we view them? Do they really stop us in our tracks and distract us? In Romans 5, Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Is that our first response, our default button, when problems come? Or is it to grumble and to blame and to moan? I know what my default button is, and so does my family. And it's probably not rejoicing. But that's what we're called to do, because there's a purpose in these problems. There's a purpose in these trials. And they are to strengthen us. I had 2 weeks off. We had a holiday. And usually I cycle to and from work when I'm working. And on Monday, last Monday, I got on my bike for the first time for over 2 weeks. And it wasn't pretty. Because the muscles had relaxed. They were out of action. And so the first 2 days were a bit of a plod. Getting the muscles back to doing what they need to get back then. If we never use our muscles, they will waste. If we never use our Christian muscles, they will waste. We need to be strengthening those muscles. And they only come through problems and through trials. Let me ask you a question. If you look over your life, when are the times you've learned most about God? Is it in the easy, quiet times? Or when is it when you're up against it? Easy times, we tend to just relax into them. And we can get by quite nicely. But when problems come, that's when we really know how strong our relationship is with God. And so when problems do come, we need to rejoice, because they are there for a purpose. They are there for our good. And then we need to think about the right company. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us run. And in 2 Timothy 2:22 it says this, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. We can run by ourselves, but it's much harder to do that than to run with company. On those cold, wet mornings, when you really don't want to get out of bed, and there's people who are going to go out there with you to get through that, you're more inclined to get up and run. So I'm told. We need to be surrounding ourselves with the right company. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it tells us about those that have gone before. There are examples to us of faith. We can see through their lives. Yes, they had problems, but they kept going. And they are there as examples to every single one of us, encouraging us on. And yet in 2 Timothy 2:22, we're told to enjoy the company of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. We need to surround ourselves now with encouragers, with helpers, with those who are running the race as well. Because guaranteed, if you surround yourself with moaners, whingers, and complainers, you'll join them. But if you surround yourself with people who encourage, who strengthen, who support, you will join them. Because that's what we all need. Because guaranteed, we can't live in a vacuum. We need others for support, for help, and for strength. So, God has set a race before each one of us. The direction is the same. The goal is the same. But we all have different styles and speeds. My brother's run the London Marathon once. He's run other marathons. And it's amazing when you watch the marathon, the different styles that runners have, isn't it? Some of them, you look at them and think, that looks really painful, the way they're running. It doesn't look easy. And yet some people, you think, wow, they look like they're flowing. God has made us all different. And it's no good me looking at anyone else and saying, well, they're running like this, I should be running like that. Or they're doing that, I should be doing that. God has called us and has set before us as individuals the race to run. And we can only run it the way God has called us to run it. It's no good me looking at Mark and saying, well, he does this, he does that. I should be doing this or I should be doing that. It's no good looking at anyone else and saying, I'm going to judge my racing ability, my life, by that other person. Because their situation's different. Their circumstances are different. Their race is different. The destination's the same. The purpose is the same. But their race is different from my race. And God has set before us, each one of us, a race to run. So, God gives us the direction. God gives us the encouragement. God gives us the strength. God gives us the company. But it's up to me to decide to run. God will not make us run the race before us. It's up to us as individuals to decide whether we're going to run the race. God's going to equip us. God's going to provide us for us. God's going to meet the needs. But we as individuals need to be prepared to run the race.